Welcome to the greatest men's club in the world. It's not a country club, it's a grilling club, where every weekend they're going to talk about taking an animal and throwing it on some scorching flames and turning it into the tastiest morsels of goodness on this earth. As a matter of fact, it's kind of caveman, but they don't drag women into their cave. No, they're going to teach you how to make that food so good you can lure them into your cave and keep her hair looking good. When you want to find the center of the barbecue universe, just look at a map of North America and look for that big grillin' mitt. That's where they're at. It's the Grillin' Guys.
Welcome. You are listening to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the weekend. Big rivalry weekend. We've got the Michigan-Michigan State game going on this weekend. If you're listening to this on Saturday, it hasn't happened yet. But if you catch us on Sundays, then you know the result. But no speculation here. We've got two great teams. They're playing in East Lansing, and this is one of those games that anything can happen. And I'm a Sparty fan, so I'm hoping that that we go green and we go white. But you never know, because I'm doing this show before the game started. So anyway, I'm Jop, and he's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
What's cooking is fall grilling at camp. And as Jop and I were just discussing, tailgating is kind of camping in a parking lot. So this will apply to your tailgate, too, in case you're not prepared for your big tailgate. If you're going to the Spartan U of M game, I'm sure you're already on your way because it's a noon kickoff. So anyway, welcome to the smokiest show on radio. Whatever station you're listening to, they care about you because they're playing a show with some soul.
Right. Yeah, fillet of soul, that is. But anyway, Barbecue Bob, what'd you do this week in the barbecue world? I got a couple things I did, but let's start off with you, man.
Well, I guess we can talk about last night and yesterday, smoking and grilling and getting ready for to help our friend Don Van Dyne from Wells Fargo and his tailgate. We normally do it for him, but they're going solo this year. He just wanted some product, so you helped me out at my house last night, and we did up a bunch of butts and briskets. I wanted to mention...
Fired up that big judge smoker.
Yeah, yeah.
And that internal rotisserie on that thing just continues to amaze me. The food gets cooked so evenly on that. I've got the old offset smoker where I've got the slide-in trays.
Yeah.
And I get hot spots on the back of it.
Right.
And
Which is why I sold it to you.
Yeah, thanks, man. Yeah. But it's better than what I had.
It is.
And if you're careful, you know, here's the lesson. If you learn your equipment, you can get great results.
That thing will cook a bunch of product.
Yeah.
It'll cook a bunch of product.
And it does, and it cooks it very well. But that judge from the guys down in Kansas is really – really a
American
cool
barbecue systems.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm set for life. I don't think I'll ever need another one. But speaking of cooking, you know, you've been helping us with our new kitchen.
Yeah.
We did a total remake. It's been 16 months of rebuilding this house. I got my siding done last week.
Looks badass. Oh, it really does, man.
So nice to get that buttoned up. I actually have a couple little pieces on one bay window to finish. And maybe next spring I'll get it done. Or if I get a warm day. I'm doing vinyl on those parts, and vinyl's tough to work with in the cold weather.
Oh, yeah, it's brittle.
I've learned how to crack it very well.
Yep.
And as it turns out, I went to our friends that we did the barbecue for a couple of years ago to get the siding. Help me with the name of the place. Windsap.
Right.
Because they're the CertainTeed. Yep. They're the CertainTeed dealer. So the best vertical vinyl I could find was their board and bat, and it looks really good. I'm sorry I did wood board and bat on the front of the house now because this vinyl looks so good.
Yeah.
So I got that all wrapped up, and now I'm doing the kitchen. You are ordering the cabinets for us, which is really nice. Maureen's been working with your designers for months.
Right.
And I think we've got it nailed. So then I could finally order the rest of my appliances. So I went to Garrett's Appliance and got a beautiful range by Thermador. And they have a special right now where you get a free dishwasher.
There you go.
Which is a $1,500 dishwasher. Way nicer than the old one we had.
Right.
And we were, you know, it's a stainless dishwasher. So we were just going to reuse it. And then that deal came along. And Bruce Meekoff down there just worked his magic and got us into an awesome, it's only a 30-inch,
Right.
We don't have – that wall's not very big. I really wanted a 36, but budget and space says 30 will do it.
Well, and the thing is that you're not cooking for as many as you used to. You do on spot occasions when the family comes home.
Right.
But you're empty nesters now.
Right.
Right? And 30-inch will do you just fine, and you bought a quality piece of equipment.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's the key. Like you, like your Judge smoker,
yep.
You're set for life now.
Well, and the refrigerator they hooked us up with was a built-in – and it's big and beautiful, and it's awesome. But I guess
you're killing me though, because you keep buying these big appliances, so I can't sell you more cabinetry, man. When the appliance gets big, the cabinets get small.
Well, no, here's the deal:
they it's gonna be a suite.
Garrett's also had a sale going on their stainless hoods.
Okay,
and he hooked us up with a beautiful Zephyr
right.
hood that was way out of our budget, and they had the price literally cut in half. To get rid of a floor model, and it's gorgeous. So love shopping at Garrett's. They're patient. We've been in there quite a few times, and I already knew what I wanted, but
right.
you know, my wife still wanted to look, and so they hooked us up really good. But last week we talked about pork loin with peach chutney,
mm-hmm.
and I said I was cooking it after the show.
Right,
I did it,
and.
And here's again the recipe. If you go to thegrillingguys.com, I'll post the pictures that go with it. Because they turned out glorious. I took a pork loin and did my little trick of cutting it into inch and a half chops, beat them up with a jacquard. Actually, I just use a meat hammer on it, a meat pounder, and pounded them out to great big pieces.
Oiled them up. So why do you do that?
Because loin is so lean, and I want to pound it out and get a bunch of EVO in there and my spices. And when you grill them up, they come back into shape and turn back into that beautiful chop. And then the last 10 minutes, I had them at about 140. I threw some of that peach chutney on top and turned it off and let them coast. They coasted up to perfection, 145, and they were just gorgeous. I mean, this well, trick with the loin of tenderizing it and then grilling it with lots of oil infused into it, you can get pork loin at $1.99 a pound, sometimes
right.
cheaper.
Those are those ones that are about the size of a softball, right? And the loin, they got a fat cap on them.
Yeah,
but they're lean.
It's the loin,
sides,
not
right?
the lean. It's the center of a pork chop, basically.
Right. Yep.
And it's a heck of a bargain on protein.
Right.
But this peach chutney recipe was spot on, and something I found on the internet.
Sure.
And just. I don't know, man. It was. I was pretty proud bringing that to the table. I was like, whoa, because we had a bunch of friends over, and I pulled out some walleye from the freezer
uh-huh.
that I had saved. And
who got you that, Bob? Who caught those
walleye? I don't remember.
For you? Right, yeah.
They were very good.
See, I got to take that credit where I can, because this stuff always usually comes the other way.
And
so.
I'm glad you said that, because I pulled them out, and they had writing on them, but I couldn't remember where I got them.
Yeah.
And not many yeah. people give me walleye, so yeah, I should have remembered.
Well, I should have been on the short list.
I caught zero this year. And then I did some beef tenderloin with Charlie Jabor's shish kebab recipe and put them on skewers. And I think we fed about 15 people, and it was quite the table full of food, and there was very little leftovers.
Well, I'm going to tell you that pork and fruit glazes and fruit sauces
so
are fabulous together.
Yeah.
And if you got, and this is a season, you can use applesauce, you can marinate in cider, you can do all kinds of things.
Applesauce, that's or apple slices,
right.
apple chutney.
Right, all of that stuff is
the
just
the chutneys are cool because you actually put some spices in and a little bit of vinegar and sugar, and it gives it a tangy, sweet
yep.
taste that's just right. And if you want, you can throw a little heat on it, which I did. I put a little cayenne in it, and because I just love my peppers.
Yeah, yeah, it is very good. Well, coming up next, we're going to continue this fall food fest here. We've got some camping food, and you know, chances are Bob will talk about a Dutch oven. And then we might swing away grates that he's got over open fire. There's some challenges with open fire cooking. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hi, Hi, this is Sal Cipriano, CEO of Better Made Snack Foods. Ever wonder why our Better Made potato chips taste so good? They're made with homegrown potatoes from West Michigan farms. So when you're driving to the beach, a festival, or a ballpark, and you pass by those farms, think of Better Made potato chips. Better yet, stop by your favorite grocer or convenience store and pick up a bag for the trip. For nearly 90 years, Better Made Snack Foods are better made.
Howdy, it's Barbecue Bob from the Grilling Guys. We're working hard on Operation GI Barbecue, which is an effort to send a plane load of barbecue to our troops. Right now, go to GIBBQ.com, look at the Sapphire Ceramic Grill on auction. You can bid on this $2,000 ceramic grill package at RepoCast.com. That's SAFFIRE at RepoCast. So remember our troops at GIBBQ.com.
Have you ever wanted a great craft beer, but alcohol just isn't in the program that day? Well, the beer engineers at Schmoe's Brewing Company have engineered a beer just for you. A pale ale with less than 0.5% of alcohol. Ask for Schmoe's 120 where you dine or drink. It's the non-alcoholic answer with a craft beer taste. Schmoe's Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan, Beer City, USA.
Wouldn't it be sweet if life just came with an assist when you needed it? At State Farm, we live for a great assist, and that's why State Farm agent Sterling Massey is proud to be a part of the NBA, the National Bureau of Assists. Whether you're driving the lane or defending the house, when it comes to assisting you with your insurance and financial needs, Sterling and his staff make it look as easy as a behind-the-back dime dropper. Call Sterling Massey at 616-532-6071.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys. That's some snappy little music from our producer, Brian. I kind of like that. Anyway, puts me in the mood to get out and fire up a grill, create a little grill envy in my neighborhood. But I'm Jop, and he's Barbecue Bob. You're listening to Grilling Guys. What's cooking, baby?
Just crunching on some Southern-style sweet heat barbecue chips from Better Made. When Don picked up that barbecue this morning at 5:45, thank you very much, I gave him a case of these to take to the tailgate. Because what a better place to sample a new potato chip than at a tailgate.
That's right.
These are perfect size bags.
I'm going to open my next bag right here. I've already powered back one since I've been sitting here.
Better Made, you know, it's the largest and oldest potato chip maker in Michigan. They use almost all Michigan potatoes, and they use cottonseed oil. So there's a flavor to these that's unique and clean, and you can't stop eating them.
Right. He told us, we've had him on a couple times, Sal Cipriano, the president of the company, and he made a comment to me that I thought was really interesting, in that when you see big brand potato chips go on sale for half off,
right,
or 2-for-1 or whatever,
right,
what they've done is they put it on their label, a list of oils that they could use.
Right.
Sal uses the cottonseed oil, which is a premier oil, which is one of the most expensive oils that he could use. But it gives a consistent flavor to his product. And he said the other big brands, when they put something on sale, they'll drop down to a lower grade,
mm-hmm,
of oil, because that way they can supplement the cost and give them to us at a cheaper price. So you're really not getting the same product. And he didn't mention brands, but I'm sure this happens,
mm-hmm,
right? And he's like, we don't do that. You know, you're not gonna see us do that. I just thought, you know what? There's a man that's convinced that quality matters.
Yeah.
Right? In his product. I just thought that was cool. You know, a little Better Made side story. But anyway.
So fall camping food, it's, you know, I don't want to bore everybody with too much deer camp talk, but if you're camping in the fall or deer camp or tailgating, you might be outside building a fire, cooking up some food. And there are some cool things, especially I think of our deer camp in particular. We cook everything outside. There's very little we cook inside because the trailer is so small.
I was going to say, because you're on the Trotwood and
that's right,
you get two guys in there, you can't turn around.
Yeah, it's cozy. Well, one of the things that's really nice by a campfire is a spit, and they sell these...
Translated rotisserie.
Yep, they sell these rotisseries, these spits that are battery-operated, and they're all stainless. and you put these forks in the ground, and the smart thing to do is put it upwind on the edge of the fire. So you've got some coals under it, but you're really cooking from radiant heat, and your juices are dropping not on the fire, so it won't catch fire, and it won't scorch your meat. And they're battery-operated, and, I mean, they'll run for hours and hours and hours, so you can put literally anything on there you want and just keep turning that thing. And if you want to baste it a little bit, you can, but a chicken works really nicely.
Yeah.
And if you stuff that chicken with some fruit, it'll keep it even more hydrated, and it'll marinate it from inside. You can baste it on the outside the last couple hours before you're done, but we do this when we're camping all the time, and those things are there. You can get them for $100 online.
Mm-hmm. And it just sticks in the dirt on either side of the fire.
There's two rods with forks on the top.
Right. You drive them into the dirt, set the rotisserie in there, and the little motor runs it. It mounts right on one of those rods.
Pay attention to the thickness of the rod.
There you go.
That's what I'll tell you.
Right.
Because some of the smaller, cheaper ones use a thinner rod. And if you're putting a big old hen on there, or a turkey or goose or something like that, you're going to have a lot of weight on it, and you're going to bow it.
But a great way to cook, because it's a set it and forget it kind of thing. But the key, I think, that couldn't be emphasized enough, and that is it's on the side of the fire. It's not over the fire, right? Because if you're over the fire, your drippings are going to hit. You're going to get flare-ups, and you're going to get charred or burned food. But if it's off to the side, anything that drips in the dirt. It's not over a coal, so it's not going to flare up. Yet the radiant heat, it's like when you stand close to the fire, right? You get a little closer to the fire, you get a little hotter. You step back, right? You're putting it near the fire, but not on the fire. That's the key, to me, of outdoor fire cooking is you're adjacent to, you're not over.
So there's some other cool things for doing that. And one thing I'm seeing a lot of, mostly online and in some stores, are these swing away grates, and there's some with some really extravagant variations. One will have a hook with a pot holder. One will have a small grate. It'll have a little grate, and you can basically swing them out of the way or swing them back in. And it generally has a big rod you have to pound in the ground. So bring a hand sledge with you,
because
you'll want to get that thing deep enough in the ground that it's not tipping over, because you got a lot of leverage on it.
Right. You put some weight out there with your pot or whatever it is you're cooking on there.
But you can do something as simple as hot dogs on that thing. It doesn't have to be an elaborate scheme.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But some sausage patties, whatever you want to do. This one I saw had actually one of the arms on it was a big cast iron fry pan.
Yeah.
And
almost like a griddle.
Yeah. But I would almost think if you just had a grate, just the simple one, just a grate, you can put anything on that you want.
Now, that's the versatility of that is the cool part, because you don't have to swing it all the way over the fire. You still have a flat surface to put your stuff on, but it could be the radiant heat.
Yeah.
Or if you do want to get a little char on things, you slide it out over the fire.
Right. And then the ones with multiple arms on them are cool, because you could literally have that fry pan going over it while you had your grate close to the fire to keep your chili or stew or soup hot.
Right. Potatoes, anything.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, pretty cool.
Yeah, this is fun to cook outside. There's another one called Titan Outdoors, and it's an adjustable campfire swivel. I clipped off a picture of it there. I also saw some that actually had cranks on them to raise and lower them.
Right.
And I thought that was kind of cool.
Moving the fire, moving the
crank
product away from
the coal bed. Move the grate up and down.
That's funny, that Titan Outdoors, the big stainless steel grill we got from Vicky's pasty shop.
Right.
Remember one time he had a grill that we
heard about it.
We took from him? It's a big old stainless steel box. I went to Titan Equipment, Titan Outdoors, and bought that rotisserie, and I got an octagon-shaped rotisserie rod, but it's 5/8. And it'll carry 120 pounds on it, and I got the right size motor.
So you can put a suckling hog on it.
Yeah, exactly.
We need to try that.
Right, and that's what I wanted, because this is a big 4-foot long and 2-foot deep box that he had made out of stainless steel, and it's got an elevated coal bed in it and stuff. And I thought, what a great, just unique tool that only used for rotisserie.
Yeah, that's an underused grill. We got to find some uses for that thing.
Yeah.
I think it would be nice to put my Judge on a permanent trailer, and then put that on a trailer and just put a roof on everything and have have everything all in one, so you could just tow it around. But
sure,
I guess that's not going to happen.
Mobile kitchen. Well, did you buy some extra siding? We could probably build a little barn around it too.
I didn't.
But anyway,
there's another one that I have. I bought a used Dutch oven years ago from a girl at church, and it was a Lodge, and it came with the tripod with the pulley and an adjuster on it, so you can literally put the tripod over your fire and cook out of a big pot that way.
That's three rods that come together like a teepee at the top, right? And then there's a chain that goes down that center,
and
you can raise and lower, right?
Yeah, there's a pulley on it.
Yeah.
It's a really nice setup. And I think you can buy that whole thing for about $140.
Bob, we've got a guy named Tim Roller coming up next from a show he calls Whitetail Journey. He's going to talk to us a little bit about deer hunting. I'm kind of interested to listen to this guy because he's probably forgot more about deer hunting than I'll know. So if you want some tips and techniques, stick with us. We'll be back.
I was strong as I could be, like a rock. Nothing ever got to me like a rock. I was something to see.
Hey, when's the last time you had a really great root beer float? I mean the kind that makes you remember walks with your grandfather. Come on over to Schmoe's Brewing Company in Grand Rapids or Petoskey, and we have some handcrafted root beer, probably the best in the state of Michigan. That's 2600 Patterson in Grand Rapids or 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey. You know you're dying for a good root beer float.
This is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about Garrett's Appliances, which is your one-stop shop for all your barbecue supplies, tools, grills, and smokers in West Michigan. Garrett's has grills for your outdoor kitchen. In fact, we at Home Life Outdoor Kitchens use them exclusively as our supplier for the very best equipment available. That's garrettsappliances.com, garrettsappliances.com.
The Grillin' Guys are happy to introduce Fenn Valley Vineyards. Fenn Valley Vineyards is the oldest family-owned winery in Michigan, located in the middle of 45 acres of vineyards carpeting the rolling hills near Lake Michigan. Fenn Valley has prided itself in the production of classic European-style wines for the past 22 years. Visit their tasting rooms at the Vineyard Orinsaugatuck, Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. On Sunday, they're open from 1 to 5. Go to FennValley.com.
With the Grilling Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mittful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the Grilling Guy rake, hit the brakes, it's going to be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the potty, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to the Grilling Guys show.
Welcome back. You are listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, Bob, I think fall is finally here, brother. We're not gonna have any more of that 70, 80 degree weather, and the snap is in the air. You're driving around about dusk, and there's deer running around everywhere. I know we're not in rut yet here. But, God, the feelings are stronger. I've not been out yet, admittedly, but I think tonight's my first night. Going to go out and sit in a tree. I just couldn't get into it when it was warm and then had a busy week, right?
Yeah.
So I couldn't get out.
But, there's still mosquitoes in the garage, though. Welcome back. Thanks for joining the Grilling Guys. There is some we've had a couple days of frost, and we've had this gentleman on the show before. His name is Tim Roller from Whitetail Journey. Good morning, Tim.
How are you guys?
Good. Been watching a lot of your pictures on Facebook. I know one of the things that you're surprising everyone with is a dramatic weight loss, and we won't hit you on your special diet unless it's like, nothing but venison diet.
But no, that's how you get to where I was.
Yeah.
Copious amounts of things.
So,
venison, it's changed a little bit.
So you've been doing a lot of scouting.
I have, yeah, and things are really starting to kick off. Like you guys were just saying, this cooler weather is kind of jump starting things, and it's only going to get better from here.
We had Babe Winkleman on a couple weeks ago, and he said the rut should be starting like today, based on the autumnal equinox and his calculation. But I think he's right, because I was seeing chasing 2 weeks ago, So it's early this year, and I'm happy about that because I too will be sitting in a blind tonight. So help our folks tune up their scouting techniques.
Sure. Well, I'll tell you, you know, there's never a bad time to scout. There's times that are definitely better than others. And my scouting changes throughout the year on what I'm doing and what I'm willing to do. So that's probably first and foremost for me is you got to know when you can do certain things and when not. You know, I'll give you an example of that. For me, I love to get inside bedding areas and find out how those deer are coming in, what they're doing in there, and where they're leaving. But there's a specific time to do that and a really specific time on when not to do that. So, you know, those are the types of things I think that I know that has made me more successful over the years. When I've figured out not only how I'm scouting, but timing is really everything.
So expound on that for us a little bit, Tim. What is a good time to get into that bedding area, and what are the ones to avoid?
Well, I think the best time, and for me the only time, I'll go into a bedding area unless I'm tracking a deer. But the only time I'm going to go scout a bedding area is right after your season closes. Now, that depends on obviously wherever you are, but, you know, throughout the Midwest, that's going to be sometime January, early February is when the seasons close. And that's when I love to get in. I mean, if you're fortunate enough to have snow, it makes it even better.
Yeah, obviously, it sure
you
does.
You can follow the runways and the trails in. You can see specifically where the beds are. And then once the snow leaves, I'll go back in there right away when the snow is off, because then you can really see what was going on like in November. The scrapes are still, they look like they were just made because they've been covered in snow all winter. So you can really get a great idea of how those deer are entering and exiting that area, how they're using it. And it gives you a leg up on how you want to hunt around it with certain winds, with tree stand locations, all of that stuff.
So let's say a guy's going on to public land this weekend or in the next few days, and he doesn't know the land so well. What types of scouting activities, what should he be looking for?
Well, public or private, right? Whenever I'm hunting a new property or I get a new lease or I have access on a new property, the first thing I'm going to do, the head start for me, the bulk of my scouting before I ever get on that ground is done online. And we have so many resources now that are available online that we just never had when I, you know, started hunting over 30 years ago.
Like topographical maps from Google?
Yeah, aerial photos. You know, you can. There's a bunch of them. Google Earth, right? There's a bunch of apps out there now. Onyx Hunt is one that I rely on big time because it's a paid app, and I think it's like $100 for the year. But what you get with that is any ground you pull up in any state, it's going to give you the boundaries, the property lines, whether private or public. It's going to tell you the deer management unit in that particular area. It's going to give you a lot of information. And you don't need that stuff necessarily to scout, but, you know, there's a lot of free ones, like I said, where you can go on, pull up your aerials and look at those. You're going to see topography. You're going to see all kinds of openings or small water sources, whatever, that you don't know if you've not been on there. And then one thing that's really I see a lot of people do is they want to just center on that particular piece of property that they're going to be on. You need to look at the surrounding properties as well, because you might not have food, you might not have water, you might not have bedding cover on the property you're able to hunt. That doesn't matter if your adjacent land does. And you might not be able to hunt that land, but you can use what those deer are doing. They might just transition through your property. Perfect. Find out where they're going from. You can find bedding areas. You can find water sources, food sources. Get in between those on your properties.
So I got a scenario for you. I'm fortunate enough to have a guy invite me to his property. He's got pre-installed stands, right? Mm-hmm. These are permanent ones, shacks, elevated shacks. And we go in there throughout the season, and we're in and out every night. But he's got 80 acres of woodlot and grass, and on all four sides of it are crop fields. And what we find is an entry and an exit into this area is when we're seeing the deer move, is they're either going out to feed or they're coming back in from feeding. But as the season changes, the timing changes as well. Yep. And I just wondered if you could indicate or give us your opinion on when deer feed as the season changes?
Well, some of that, I'll be happy to answer your question. Let me precursor that with something, though, here, because a lot of times guys will go in and out to sets. I'm not saying you guys are doing this at all, but you get going in the same motion, and the deer are pretty relatively at ease at the beginning of the season. Well, all of a sudden they start getting some human intrusion. That's going to change, their timing on a lot of things as well. So people need to realize that when they're going into properties, that if your entries and exits are as important as your stand sites, maybe more so, because there's great stand sites that I just can't get into in the mornings, or I can't get into them in the evenings without boogering them up. And so those are things that will definitely dramatically affect deer movement as well. But as the season progresses, to address your point here, yeah, feeding times are going to change. Now, that's dictated by an awful lot of things. Weather can dictate that. We saw that perfectly, just a great example of that this past week when the first real cold front of the fall came through. Where I hunt, the deer were on their feet an hour and a half, 2 hours earlier in the evenings, because the temperature dropped about 30, 35 degrees in the previous days. That's going to put them on their feet earlier. Moon phases are going to put them on their feet, barometric pressure. A lot of things related to weather are going to dictate when deer get up and when they don't get up. So that's one thing. And then as we get closer to the rut, them deer are going to be up on their feet more, especially the bucks, because they're cruising and searching. And when they find does, they're going to bump them and they're going to get them up as well. They're going to push them into the food sources. The bucks are going to hit the food sources sooner because they're looking for deer. Once they get hooked up, that's a whole different story. But
yeah,
there's an awful lot of things that that can dictate when the deer get up and move.
Okay, we've got less than a minute. Tell folks how to find you.
Yeah, our website, whitetailjourney.com, and then we're all over social media, Whitetail Journey on Facebook and Instagram.
All right, Tim Roller, Whitetail Journey, appreciate you taking a little time with us, and we certainly hope that some of these techniques and tips you've given out today help folks find that that sweet buck bedroom.
There you go. Hey, I appreciate it, guys. Good luck to you. Stay safe this fall.
All right, buddy. Thanks, man.
You know, every time we talk to Babe or an expert like Tim, I pick something up. I learn something, right? The overall sentiment for me is this isn't an accident. There's science, and you got to practice to be good at this. But coming up next, maybe we'll get away from some protein and hit some fall vegetables on the grill. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Have you missed episodes of The Grillin' Guys? Go to thegrillinguys.com and you can play episodes clear back to 2010. Subscribe to the podcast and you'll never miss another one again. That's thegrillinguys.com.
Hey guys, Schmoes now has two locations, 2600 Patterson here in Grand Rapids and 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey now. So when you're up north, you can grab some Schmoes as well. Remember, you can get all your favorites, Bone Crusher, Hop Knocker, Treasure Chest, Amber Tees, Michigan Hands Pale Ale, and India Pale Ale, or one of our great root beers. Once again, that's Grand Rapids and Petoskey. Engineering better Michigan beer.
Hi, it's Shasta from Old World Olive Press. We are a Michigan-based company with stores in Rockford, Grand Rapids, Plymouth, and Birmingham. Visit our tasting rooms to sample over 50 varieties of award-winning olive oils and balsamic vinegars, carefully sourced from small-batch artisans in both hemispheres. We have cooking demonstrations and private parties to help you experience the treasures we've discovered. Step into our kitchen, downtown Rockford, and our newest location on Monroe Center, Old World Olive Press. Let us help you bring the magic into your home. Go to Old World Olive Press.
Hey If your windows stick, slip, squeak, or leak, then it's time to replace them with Anderson Windows from Standale Lumber's Home Center in Standale. Standard and custom sizes along with low-E glass, low-maintenance exteriors, and rich wood interior can turn simple window replacement into serious home improvement. You'll feel increased security, your home will be much quieter and more comfortable, but the increased curb appeal will make you proud of your home and its new facelift from your Anderson Windows and Standale Lumber's Home Center. 4100 Lake Michigan Drive, Standale, or find us on the web at standalelumber.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the weekend. If you're on your way to the Michigan-Michigan State game, be safe, have fun, go green. But if you're getting ready or just coming back out of your tree for the morning, we hope you had a successful hunt. But we've been talking a little bit about deer hunting and camp food, and we're going to continue that. It isn't all about protein with the Grilling Guys. A lot of the times it is because we like to grill our meat. But we're going to talk a little bit of the fall vegetables. There's a bounty out there right now of things. The summer's done, but there's still all the squashes and pumpkins and a lot of other things that are really good on a grill. Barbecue Bob, what you thinking, man?
I'm thinking about Charlie Brown and the Great Pumpkin.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to dig that cartoon up. That was one of his best. You know, fall vegetables on the grill. One thing that you and I have played with in the past, and my bride does this in the oven, but roasting pumpkins. Yep. You have played around with some wedges.
Right.
What'd you do?
Right. Well, I put a little butter and brown sugar on them. You cut them up in a wedge, right? Almost like a sweet potato fry.
Like a giant nacho chip.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And take the seeds and the guts off the pumpkin, the string, right, and all the seeds off. And then that outer skin on a pumpkin is real resilient, right? So you can use that if you want to, or you take it off and make kind of like a French fry out of it.
Well, that's the perfect cooking surface.
Right. So you leave that on there, and you put it on, and I use indirect heat because it'll burn, and I don't want it burned, but you're actually roasting a wedge of the pumpkin, little butter and brown sugar on there, man.
And even if you can't do indirect heat, you can do low heat on that skin, and if you burn the outside of that a little bit, you're not eating it anyway.
That's
you're
right.
Burning the bottom of your bowl.
Right, yeah, that's the piece you're not eating. We do the same thing with acorn squash.
Yes.
Right? And those are the ones, the little green one, dark green
looks
ones,
like,
shaped like an acorn,
yep, looks
right?
Like an acorn.
Right. And I'll do those in the smoker. Really like those. Cap them, right? Take the top off where the stem is, run a knife across it, get a spoon in there, dig the stuff out. But keep that cap. Don't throw it away. And then I take and I put them, the butter and brown sugar inside of the acorn squash,
maybe
cap it back
maybe
up.
Maybe a little rum.
Right, so it steams, right? I'm going to cap it back up so it steams it. And it's going to cook a little quicker because it's closed in there. But one of the tricks I do is on the pointy end, opposite the stem, is you just slice about a quarter inch off. Don't go too deep because all your good stuff will leak out. But if you just take and flatten that off a little bit on the bottom, it'll sit on your grates really nice.
You could put a little brandy or some Kahlua or something like that in there if you want to make a little adult dessert.
Right. Yep. But it's a good vegetable. Now we're altering Mother Nature's flavors with sugar and butter in both of those. But I just think that combination with a squash type vegetable, being the pumpkin or these acorn squash, and there's hundreds of these squash out there.
I was at the farmer's market here last week with my daughter, Emily, home. She's quite the chef, so I'm trying to always outdo her.
Good luck with that.
Getting harder and harder.
She studies. You
getting
try.
Getting harder and harder.
Yeah, I get it. I'm a trier.
So I bought some Brussels sprouts for the first time on the stem.
Oh, yeah. And a little tree of them.
Yeah. And I've just got that propped up in the kitchen right now just because it's pretty awesome looking. But I love doing those, and I'll do those just on a cast iron skillet with some good EVO, I'll fry up a little bit of bacon first.
There you go.
And use a little bit of that bacon grease, and then cut them in half, put them a flat side down, and just saute them lightly, throw a little balsamic. I use the 18-year balsamic from Old World Olive Company, and then I'll just turn it off and close the lid and let them just come to a rest. They are so good.
Right, and they're good for you. A lot of iron.
Very good.
In a Brussels sprout. That dish, when you cut those in half, what you're going to see is you're going to have a few of those outer layer leaves flake off, but leave those in there. I mean, if they're clean, leave them in there because they crisp up like a potato chip, and they are unbelievable
right.
when you do that. They're just the one thickness of the leaf, right? The Brussels sprout's like a miniature cabbage, but the outer leaves that fall off, man, if you leave those in that saute pan or that cast iron skillet,
yeah.
Oh, those are just
another
like,
thing you see a lot this year time of year is artichokes.
Yeah.
And I'm working on the artichoke technique. The next segment, we're going to talk about some other things you can do. But I am becoming a big fan of arugula.
Okay. That's a lettuce, right?
Yep.
Okay. Why? What do you like about it?
It's got this salty, kind of peppery, salt and pepper kind of flavor to it.
Yep.
So it adds a really cool accent to lots of things. Like I made fajitas the other night, and instead of lettuce, I put arugula out there, and it just gave everything a nice twist.
Right. Yep. A little fresh. Kind of brightens things up a little bit.
Kind of peppery.
Yeah. A little bit peppery.
And it's resilient. It holds up in the fridge a long time. In terms of squash on the grill, I've never done a whole lot of them. And there's butternut squash.
Right.
And I think you can do that very much like you were doing the pumpkin.
Yeah, right, because they're the ones that are, they got a bulb on the bottom and a long
right.
neck on them.
Right.
They're usually like cream colored, right?
Right?
And those butternut squash, you can cut those in half and make a boat out of them. You can slap the top of the boat back on if you want that steaming effect, or you just got two halves of the boat and then you use that, and you can put any variety of things inside
right.
there.
I've seen people putting like lasagna filling in them and
ricotta,
taco filling in them, and doing all kinds of cool things because squash is actually very healthy for you. But you hit on something before. You said that Brussels sprouts are good for you. Cabbage, Brussels sprouts, broccoli, cauliflower. There's like four plants that in particular have a special chemical that they've found actually is it fights cancer. So if you don't like Brussels sprouts and cabbage, try and like them because cancer is a bigger and bigger problem in the country. And you're
for
putting
sure.
this stuff in your gut. And colon cancer, we've had two friends recently have half their colons removed
Ouch.
Because of colon cancer.
Yeah.
And now they got semicolons. So that's not cool.
Pause, change the subject. Yeah. Anyway, that's some man advice. It's time for some man law. Now you're a man!
Today's man law, I found this one to be spot on, and I see it more and more, so here's a warning to all you. If you are trying too hard to be that cool guy, and we've seen them more and more, this is a problem in my opinion, your hipster, ironic look is just as douchey as your tap-out shirt. If you're going out of your way for that look, you're a clown.
Wow. All right. I'm thinking that was inspired by somebody you have in mind. But
A bunch of them.
They shall remain nameless.
A bunch of them. I'm sorry, anyway. But if you've got a great big lumberjack beard and you can't swing an axe or handle a chainsaw, shave it off. Don't come up with your skinny jeans and a lumberjack beard. It's douchey.
Can you drink an IPA or are you still on Coors Light? The other one too?
Yeah, there's another vegetable that we talked about a couple months ago, but it's a great one for deer camp, and that's just the good old-fashioned carrot.
Yep.
And you wrap it in some thin, cheap bacon, and you just get a bunch of them, wrap them up, and make in advance or just bring a little bit of some maple syrup.
Right.
And just finish them off with some maple syrup with a little bit of cayenne or
right.
some pepper flakes in it. And those are fantastic because by the time the bacon's crisp, that carrot is absolutely perfect. And then that maple syrup with the pepper in it just gives it a hot, spicy, sweet characteristic to the bacon. And it's a wonderful thing. And it's a stick you can lay on your grate. You just roll them all at the same time.
Now, you're doing those direct heat or indirect heat?
Direct.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So you got to roll it because you don't want the bacon to burn.
Right. So here's a good idea. Get yourself a nice silicone mitt to take out with you.
Yeah.
So that you can handle all this stuff, the grate, all that hot stuff. And you're going to spend $50 on them, but I need another pair right now. So I think I'm going to go shopping for some myself. The last ones I bought were as seen on TV. Don't buy those.
Right.
Yeah. They crack.
Coming up next, we're going to roast your turnip. Stick with us. We will be back.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey. Sobey Meats is an 11-year-old business on Remembrance Drive in Walker. We have high-quality custom meats as well as seafood, produce, beer, and wine. Sobey Meats is proud to supply the barbecue enthusiasts with over 50 sauces, Kansas City and Memphis rubs, as well as barbecue supplies. Our meat counter is 60 feet long with 70 different homemade sausages. Check us out at SobeyMeats.com. That's SobeyMeats.com.
Barbecue Bob, and I want to tell you about the biggest beer store in West Michigan. Siciliano's Market at 2840 Lake Michigan Drive has the most craft beers I've ever seen in one location. Siciliano's is a family business that works hard to bring you the best beers in the world to the West Michigan market. Visit Siciliano's and check out the huge selection of home brewing supplies as well. That's Siciliano's Market at SicilianoMKT.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. If you're headed to the tailgate or you're already there, enjoy yourself, be safe, and go green. But other than that, Barbecue Bob and I have been talking about camp food, which is could be tailgate food because you're camping on a parking lot when you're doing your tailgate. But
that's right. And welcome back. And don't forget to go to thegrillingguys.com. Our website has a lot of good recipes on it. You can actually download any show. Let's say one of your favorite guests was on the show and you want to hear the interview again with Tim Roller, for example.
Right.
You can just go to our website, download the MP3 segment. If you look up at the top right corner, you'll see a search bar to find any recipe you might be looking for. We don't have them all, but we have a bunch. And then under that, there's the podcast icon, and you can have this show sent to your device in form of a podcast. So that's a good resource. Want to talk briefly about roasting garlic.
Way overlooked. I think that there's some technique to it that you're going to talk about, but this is the universal spice for me. If I could have only one spice in my life, it would be garlic.
Well, when you talk about Old World Olive Company, the one oil I use gallons of a year is the garlic.
Right.
But you can buy these little heads of garlic they're not expensive. The markets are full of them right now.
Right.
And you can actually store them in your basement, a cool spot in your fridge. But
put them in a paper bag. They keep and they won't sprout if they're in a paper bag because it's dark. Because if you keep them in your hydrator drawer or something, they'll sprout after a while. But you just put them in a paper bag.
Oh, that's good.
Roll down the top, put it in there, they'll be good.
Kill the light.
Right.
So what you do is you'll see one end, there's a root, and then one end is a point. You take that pointy end and you cut it back so that you have a flat surface on the top. And then
you've exposed all the cloves.
You have.
Right?
You've cut through all the skin. And, you know, you're probably taking 3/4 of an inch off, and then you'll have a bit more of a symmetrical little piece of food to work with. And you set them all in a pan, and you'd want to do 8 to 10 of these at a time or more.
Yeah.
But you put them all in a pan, and you drizzle some EVO on them, and then hit them with a little sea salt and some pepper if you like. But the salt is a big deal. And then roast them for a little over an hour and let them cool.
Are you putting the cut side down or the cut side up?
Cut side up so you can drizzle that oil in
them.
And you got to roast them for about an hour, and then just pull them out and let them cool. And once they're cool, you can pick them up and you can turn them upside down like over a bowl, and you grab that root end and just squeeze on the root end and squeeze it down like a tube of toothpaste, and those garlic will all come sliding right on out, perfectly cooked. If you like to make that garlic sauce like the Middle Eastern guys made for us, that's what you use, is pure garlic like that. And it's wonderful.
Right.
And it's very cool if you're having friends over, if you're entertaining, and it's always nice to bring out something and hear them go, ooh, ah.
Yeah.
You can bring that nice display of roasted garlic out, and everybody gets one. And I'll tell you that
it's just spreadable at that point, too. It's almost like butter.
It is.
Yeah.
And it's a fantastic fall vegetable that you can do on the grill, and you can put a little smoke to it that way.
And here's the cool part is that'll keep for a long time.
Yes.
Right? So you like Bob said, you do a dozen of them, buy a dozen of the heads, and you do those, and you can put that in a bowl. 2 months from now, it'll still be good because it's just that universal.
There's nothing to go bad in.
Right, there's nothing to
go
bad
in. And you can even leave them in the husks if you want while you store them.
Yeah.
But roasted turnips, or you don't even have to roast them. A turnip is a fantastic root vegetable that you should get yourself familiar with. You can pickle them, actually.
Right. Yeah. Well, hey, you've been listening to The Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We appreciate you tuning in each and every week. If you're out there doing a tailgate, be safe. Enjoy the game. If you're getting in a tree and going to go after that deer, climb up and down with a safety net so that we don't have to be talking about you. But anyway, we appreciate you listening to Grilling Guys. We'll talk with you next week.